responsibilities, and then we will sing. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, again for our time in your house, and pray that you would bless us and be one of our number. Pray, Lord, for a wee bit of wisdom as we read and study your word. Pray you too, Lord, for a wee bit of joy as we lift up our voices and praise you. And Father, we pray for peace and direction as we head home at the end of the service. But in the meantime, Lord, please be one of our number, and for our brethren too, wherever they are, as long as they're gathering around the King James and preaching and teaching the whole council of it, Lord. In all the battles we have in front of us, Father, I pray you, please, that you would go before us and you would fight and win those battles, Lord, just like you did in days of yore. And Father, so that you would be seen as the God that still works in his word. Please help us. Please save souls. And Lord, we love you and thank you. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Any of you gentlemen or lady have a hymn that you would like for us all to sing this evening?
Yeah, 253, Mark, you must be born again.
I was actually just thinking about that. We are going to commence the service with 372, in the big verse. That is, let the lower lights be burning. 372, just sit as we sing this verse for him.
The ruler once came to Jesus, my guide.
word of the Lord to Isaiah chapter 36. Isaiah chapter 36. And it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the defense cities of Judah and took them. The king of Assyria sent Rabshakeah from Lachish to Jerusalem unto King Hezekiah with a great army, stood by the conduit of the upper bull in the highway of the fuller's field. Then came forth unto him Eliakim, Hilkiah's son, which was over the house, and Shebna was scribe, and Joah, Asaph's son, the recorder. And Rabshakeah said unto them, See now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, What confidence is this wherein thou trustest? I say, sayest thou, but they are but vain words, I have counsel of strength for war. Now in whom dost thou trust, and that thou rebellest against me? Though thou trust in the staff which spoken reed on Egypt, wherein if a man leap, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all that trust in him. But if thou say to me, We trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altar Hezekiah hath taken away, and said to Judah and Jerusalem, Ye shall worship before this altar? Now therefore give pledges, I pray thee, to my master the king of Assyria, and I will give thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them. How then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants, and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots of horsemen? And now and am I now come up with the Lord against this land to destroy it? The Lord said unto me, Go up against this land and destroy it. Then said Eliakim and Shebna and Joah unto Rabshakeah, Speak, I pray thee, unto the servants of the Syrian language, for we understand it, and speak not to us in the Jewish language, in the ears of the people that are on the wall. But Rabshakeah said, Hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? Hath he not sent me to the men that sit upon the wall, that they may eat their own dung and drink their own piss of you? Then Rabshakeah stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jewish language and said, Hear ye the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, Let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you. Now let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, The Lord will surely deliver us. The city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not unto Hezekiah. Thus saith the king of Assyria, Make an agreement with me by a present and come out to me, and eat ye every one of his vine, every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one out of the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Whereas Hezekiah persuaded you, saying, The Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the God of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arphad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? And have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who are they among all the gods of these lands that they have delivered the land out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? But they held the priest and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was, saying, Answer him not. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, that was over the household of Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, to Hezekiah with a close rent, and told him the words of Rabshakeah.
Thank you, Will. And thank you for the reading. There's a verse there that I find very interesting. Verse number 6. Like thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed of Egypt, whereon if a man lean, it will go into his hand. Mm-hmm. I've heard that mentioned in many places, talking about people that are unreliable. They're like a broken reed. Anyway, thank you for that. Just want to remind everybody to make sure they get one of those little green prayer lists. And please bear in mind all the prayer requests that are on there. A couple of new ones for a lady by the name of Mary Hamilton, a great aunt of Will's, yes. And also a wee man called Jeffrey, who lives down in Ross Downing Park, for their salvation, and of course for all the leaflets that went out yesterday. And we have... Have you any private prayer requests, John? No. Okay. Thanks for Norman for his court case. Everything's going very well so far, with only, I think, one more meeting with the court at the most. So please do pray about that. Somebody actually said thank you for the good weather.
and put it down this morning.
But it has been pretty good, except for this afternoon. But we're glad of the warm weather, and we are so thankful we're able to be out and put a few leaflets in through people's doors. So please bear those in mind as you go through your day or say your prayers. Amen. Has anybody, any of you gentlemen, got a hymn that you would like for us to sing? If you don't have one, that's fine. I've got one right here. You have one, Mrs. Bradford?
I do, but I don't know if you want to sing that.
John, have you got one?
There's one there, that somebody's got a man here, nothing but the blood.
I'm actually, is that number 20?
That's 17, number 30.
What was your one, Mrs. Bradford?
30.
30.
216.
216, number 30 and 216. Is that one that I may not want to sing? Surely goodness. Right, we knew that. Did you have one, Norman?
Number 15.
Number 15. We can put all of those in.
In the black book.
In the black book. Right, let's do the black book one first. Number 15. How long has it been? We'll remain seated for this one. Number 15 in the wee black book. How long has it been? Let's make a joyful noise. Let's be happy when we sing.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to Genesis, book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 2. I'd like to take a turn there. Sorry, Genesis chapter 3, my apologies. You're just somewhere in Genesis. We're in Genesis chapter 3. I would like to read it all, and I would like to talk about sinning less, or don't let sin in. Amen. In Genesis chapter 3, and there's plenty of occasions in the rest of the Bible where sin has crept into people's lives, just on top of their ordinary lives, but I thought, you know what, we might as well look at the very, very beginning and see what lessons that we can learn from here. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife Eve, wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothed them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of life. Amen. Let's have a quick prayer, and then we'll continue on. Well, if you would, brother, you could lead us, please.
Father, faithful keep us safe from our Lord today, Lord. Thanks for all children, fellowship, Lord, with the church of this morning, Lord. We thank you for your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. You made it all happen, Lord, and cause for our sins. If only we accept us, Lord, and Lord, and repent for our sins, and say we're sorry, Lord, and come to a contrite and humble heart, Lord. Lord, that you will save us, Lord, by the imparting the flesh, blood, shed, and trail of Calvary, Lord. Jesus was by the path, Lord. With the trust of the Lord yesterday, why don't you use it partly to convert people that are lost, Lord, and bring them to the foot of the Lord, cross for salvation, Lord. And may the good name be exalted through the city and through this world, Lord, as well, Lord. With the church services and ministries and services throughout this world, Lord, even now, Lord, you use it to push people, Lord, to Jesus Christ, sacrifice on the cross, Lord, and save them souls by the pathway. And may the good name be exalted as well, Lord. Your marks come to deliver the gospel. Give a touch of the Spirit, Lord. Also, touch our hearts, Lord, and may be more in tune with thee and thy will, Lord, and the message, well, Lord, and may see a blessing like this, well, Lord. Listen to us, Lord, and may we push us to the forefront of a new Christ centered week, Lord, and move us to peace for Jesus Christ again. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Like we said at the start, the title for the message is Don't Let Sin In. That is the message. If you want to skip back to the end of Genesis chapter 1, the very last verse shows us, in fact it just says, this is God was recounting this to Adam before Adam was made, these were God's thoughts. It says, and God saw everything that he had made, so that's all the world and all the animals and the sky and the sun and the moon and the stars and the seas and everything, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and morning were the sixth day. In other words, space was just about perfect. So perfect, in fact, that whenever they put Adam and Eve on it, they had no worries. They didn't have to work at getting fruit out of the trees or their food out of whatever was growing on the ground. They just walked and talked with the Lord in the Garden of Eden. And everything was perfect. There was no sin. They had no notion of themselves even being naked. They were innocent. And of course, we know that the old devil, often called that old serpent or the dragon, he had obviously fallen since then. And as the Lord said, he also was created perfect in all of his ways until iniquity was found in him. Just as he did back here in a perfect world, so he will do in any life that he comes across. The Bible records that the serpent was sneaky, more subtle than any beast of the field, and he tried the woman. He always, as the Bible says, be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In other words, he will probe for weak spots in your life and take full advantage of them. In this case, he found the weakness in Eve, in her non-remembrance or not paying attention, or maybe even being in a state where she thought she didn't have to pay attention. She wasn't aware that the serpent wasn't her friend, but was her enemy. But the first thing that the serpent did was to call into doubt the word of God. And that should be a lesson to all of us. If someone starts to call into doubt the word of God, your first standing should be, well, I believe the word of God, and I am going to stand on the word of God. That is your shield of faith. But I will consider your words and see how they line up to the word of God. Now, the only word of God that Adam and Eve had was, don't eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That was the only command. And to these beings that had language built into them, that were quite literally designed to live forever in the Garden of Eden, walking and talking with God, one command. Don't eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Eve said, we're not even supposed to touch it. Maybe she thought in her mind, I'm not even going to touch it. They literally could have chopped it up. They could have laid it out on the table. They could have invited all their animal friends around. The Lord said, just don't eat it. could have turned the branches into furniture. They could have built a fence. The Lord said, don't eat it. She probably thought, you know what? It would be a good idea not to have anything to do with it, not to even touch it. But she started to believe or to think that her thoughts were equivalent to God's thoughts. And the long and short of it was, the devil tied the woman up in knots, had her stepping off from the solid rock, which is the teaching of God's word, out onto her own wisdom, and she fell. She was deceived. She ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. She gave to her husband to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good of good and evil. And they both realized they were naked, and then we had the consequences. The consequences were this. First of all, everyone became liars. And they tried to pin it on everybody else. Do you ever watch those police shows where they separate the people up? And they say, well, your friend's already given you up. And I think in the next few minutes, the first one of you that spills the beans will be the one that gets away. And the other one's going to get all the blame and will go to jail. And then all of a sudden, everybody starts telling stories to make sure the other person goes to jail. That's exactly what happened. People turn into selfish, self-centered liars. Adam blamed the woman. It was her fault, Lord. Went over to the woman. The woman says, it's actually your fault, Lord, because you made the serpent. That's what she said. And this is the consequences. The consequences are already, they have become aware of sin in their lives. They become liars. And they try to shift the blame. Consequences went on. Relationships are going to be painful, says the. There will always be trouble with snakes. I don't know if anybody. One of the reasons the cowboys wear the big boots is to stop snakes biting them in the calves and their ankles and stuff. But snakes are always going to bruise your heel, but you will bruise his head. In other words, giving a little bit of prophecy about overcoming the devil in your lives, but there's consequences before that. The Lord said unto the woman, because you were deceived and you gave in, having children is going to be painful. And you will look to your husband will have the rule over you. Because you decided, if you took this step down this path to sin. And then he said to Adam, your life's going to get difficult too. You're going to have to work to eat. Garden of Eden is going to be closed for business from here on out. And he chased them out and put a flaming fiery sword and cherubims to keep people out of the Garden of Eden. So separation from God, separation from God's many blessings. Life just suddenly becomes a lot harder. And relationships changed completely. That was the consequences. Everything was perfect until Adam and Eve let sin in. The sin was there. It was obviously there. At least I've heard some preachers say that the devil maybe thought that he was going to get earth for himself. And it was shortly after man was put on the ground, but that's whenever the devil fell. In other words, perfect in all his ways until iniquity was found in. I don't know, but sin was there. The devil was there. He was trying to tempt and he was trying to reason. He did all of these things, and you should be aware of the things that the devil will do to try and make us fall. He'll try to bring into doubt God's word. He'll try to reason around it. He'll try to make it seem desirable that we should sin. But every time it causes problems, it causes separation from God, it causes people to tell lies and point the finger at each other, it causes hardship, it just makes life difficult. And I don't know about you, but I'm not looking for more trouble in this world, I'm looking for less trouble in this world. Now, I could have taken literally any chapter in the Word of God, and you can be reading examples of people sinning, even where Will was reading in Isaiah 36. Like Isaiah is full. Jeremiah is full. And Ezekiel is full of the effects of sin. in people's lives, in the lives of kings, in the lives even of prophets. There was Eli and even Samuel afterwards, men that were lifted high up in the sight of people and trusted with getting God's word out there, who let their children go mad and caused rack and ruin to the children of Israel. That can happen. It can happen in anybody's life. It can even happen in a perfect person's life. And we should always be mindful that it doesn't matter how young or how strong or how well educated or how rich or how fast or whatever it is, whatever it is that you excel at, nobody is proof against sin. Every single one of us was born with and has fed over the years to a greater or lesser degree the sin nature that lives in us. The first 5 years of our lives is pretty much doing nothing but feeding the sin nature. We cry whenever we're little, I want fed, I want held, I want changed, I want a toy, I want a bottle. That's what, and some people never grow out of that. I want, I want, I want. And they do nothing but feed the lusts of the flesh. And we know, yes, that some of those are necessary, but sometimes we children become big weans and they never learn any better. But the thing is that even with that sin nature, we have a mind to think. We have reason to compare what's going on out there with what God says in here. And I will tell you something. It's a lot easier to remember, don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, than it is to remember the 600 odd commandments that God has in his word and all the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad we have this book. I just wish my granny and granddad, about seven, a couple of hundred times removed, had listened to that one commandment. We need to ask. We can ask questions. If sin is so good and it works, why is there so much strife in the world? So obviously it doesn't work. So maybe I should be looking for something else. Something that brings peace. We were reading in Isaiah 36 again this evening. Well, Will was reading, we were listening, about the fighting that goes on and how God can be a source of it by way of punishment to the kings of old, for he can bring the victory in, depending on how you walk with God. And it's the same for us. We can, if we literally strangle the sin nature, and we can only, you know, some people that aren't saved, the Bible records that some people are able to do that and are able to live good and clean and even moral lives. There's a wee verse that the Lord used in it. He says, whenever a man kicks a devil or a bad habit out of his life, do you know what happens? The devil goes amongst dry places, seeking rest, and finds none. And then even the devil looks around and says, you know what? I liked it better when I was at home. And he goes back where he came from, and he finds the house, in other words, the man, is empty, swept, and clean. And it's just like a bunch of nurses renting a house. He takes seven other devils worse than himself, and the last place of the house is worse than the first. I'm not trying to offend any nurses, but I've heard some stories. And so, eventually, a very moral man's world will come tumbling down around his ears. And he will wish he had the Holy Spirit in there. Because, as Jesus said, you can't break into a house unless you first bind up the man of the house. There is no one who's going to bind up God. We, as Bible-believing Christians, quite literally have God Almighty with us every moment of the day, and he will help us. Where were we reading this morning? 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. Do you remember what that verse says? There is no temptation that is taken you but such as is common to man, but God will, with that temptation, make a way to escape that you're able to bear it. God can help you with sin. Don't do it yourself. The smart thing Eve should have said was, God, Let's wait and see what God says or called out to him. God, the serpent is telling us to eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. She didn't do that. She depended on her own wisdom. Friends, we are born with a sin nature, and until the time comes when we have Jesus Christ Almighty as our Savior and the Holy Spirit as our helper and friend and God as our actual adopted Father in heaven, we're on our own. And we have only got the thoughts of our minds to decide what's right and wrong. It wasn't that long ago that, in fact, it's still in place, where the government tells people in China that it is quite literally their duty to only have one child per family to reduce the population. Ling came from a much bigger family because she lived in the country. And they still required people to work the fields, but the cities were massively overpopulated. So it was a good thing to kill your little children. And that's told people day in and day out, even in churches. And people believe it and think it's fine. Without the solid rock of the Word of God, people will believe anything if they're told it often enough. And that is why we need to read the Bible often. If you have a photographic memory and you only need to read it once, I applaud you. I am envious of you. But I have needed to read my Bible, I'm maybe 20-odd times going through my Bible. I need to keep reading it. I need to keep firing, breaking up those coals and letting the air around it. Whenever you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives with you until the day that you die, and until the day that you don't need him anymore. And he helps. And he keeps the devil from possessing you. That doesn't mean he can't whisper in your ear and tempt you. But he can't make you do anything. I don't know if life has gotten a lot more difficult in the past 2,000 years, but obviously God thinks it has. If we need God Almighty with us every moment of every day to even have a chance of a decent life in this world. The Lord said, ask questions. Don't just believe everything that you hear, but ask questions. Even of God. In Isaiah chapter 1, he said, come, let us reason together. He's talking about salvation. Though your sins be red as scarlet, I'll make them like wool. Will they be red like crimson, I will make them as white as snow. That's what the Lord said. In Revelation chapter 3, he says, I stand at the door and knock. If a man will open, I will enter in, and I will sup with him, and he will sup with me. We will fellowship together. We will talk. You can ask questions and I'll answer them. That's what God said. And anyone that says, don't ask questions, just do what you're told, you know there's something wrong there. We should ask questions. I know there is a great temptation to make a quick buck. I know there is a great temptation to cheat the system or to play in God mode. To advance beyond everybody else. To gain an advantage. Quickly. But often with that, most often with that, there's a great price to pay. You have to step away from what is right and you have to indulge in what is wrong. Just like the devil tempted the Lord with power and glory displayed in the world, and the Lord knew it wasn't the time for that, but it would come but thousands of years later, and the devil tempted him with it right now. And if he tempted our Savior, God Almighty, with those things that he wanted to show to us but knew would not help us right now, he's not going to think twice about trying it on with you and me. And again, I want for you to understand, it doesn't matter who you are. Many wise men and many strong men and many accomplished men have thought themselves beyond the need of sitting in church, or beyond the need of the reminding of the teachings of the Word of God, and have fallen by the wayside. I can name a few in the church, but everyone that has left Bethel under a cloud has not gone on to do better things. They have not improved their lot in life. They have not gone on to a closer walk with God. Sadly, the old sin nature that gets us into so much bother, it's like the gift that keeps giving. Here we are today, and we live a fraction of the lifespan that Adam and Eve lived, designed to live forever. I think Adam lived for 929 years. Was it Abraham said that I've only lived a tiny portion of the lives of my forefathers? We need so much help. We need the promises that the Lord gave us when he walked with us about the other comforter bringing all things to our remembrance. And of course, all of the many other promises of the Bible by going to God for peace, for assurance, for strength, for comfort. All of those are delivered to us by God through the Holy Spirit. We need them. Before I got saved, my head was nearly turned trying to keep on top of everything. Whenever I got saved, I felt the weight of the world lift off my shoulders, and so many things that I thought were important were not important anymore. God gives us this clarity. But he knows that we're not perfect. He knows none of us are perfect. Even though I joke about Psalm 37, you know, Mark the perfect man, I am certainly not a perfect man. Although I'm perfect for that woman, I am not the perfect man. We will never be sinless until we stand in front of God with our sin nature gone forevermore. But we can sin less. We can cause less trouble. And I'm not talking about robbing people. I'm talking about walking closer to God. I'm not talking about spending the rest of our lives sleeping around the country or doing drugs or telling dirty jokes. I'm just talking about walking closer to God. Most folks might never see a difference in your life, but you will know. And the things that you give up. There's Monica, for instance. Everybody knows she has a bit of difficulty with allergies and certain foods. And whenever I met Monica, she used to walk around with an IV full of black coffee. She literally walked around with an IV full of black coffee. She lived on black coffee. She would have a cup of coffee on the way to Belfast and stop at the petrol station at the bottom of the Glen Sheen for a top-up and then be looking for, I don't think they were quite that bad, but maybe not far off, but then be looking for a coffee shop in Belfast, if we were ever going that far, for a snack. And I think come the afternoon you were about quit with coffee, and so many other things. But didn't I actually know that those things were hurting her, making her feel unwell? And so one by one, she started cutting them out. And she started to feel better and better in herself. If you were to look at her now and look at her a few years ago, you might not be able to tell the difference. But she feels better. If I look at Will, I don't see any difference in Will. I never knew Will before he was saved. John, you look the same to me. Norman, you look the same to me as when I first met you, 9 years ago? 9 years. I'm still waiting for someone to say, Pastor, you look exactly the same. I said, 20 years ago, you haven't changed a bit. But sometimes, it's just for us. It's just for us. It's not so that we can be accomplished evangelical speakers or have the power of God dripping from our fingertips like force lightning from the emperor's hands. Sometimes it's just for us. Life gets that wee bit easier when we're walking closer to God. We have more peace in our hearts when we're walking close to God. Our blood pressure goes down a drop, a step or two, whenever we're walking closer to God. Yes, we might have fewer friends when we're walking closer to God, because I'm going to tell you, nobody likes to be told they're wrong, especially when they're warming up for a party. And who knows what they'll be doing at it. But you'll feel better. And I mean in a good way, because you'll be walking closer to God. You'll have an ear that'll hear God better. The verses of scripture that you come across in your Bible will speak to you more clearly. You'll be directed through, and let's be honest, sometimes the rapids and the rocks that just lay under the surface of life much more easily. That doesn't mean you'll be untouched by sin, or you'll be untouched by the things that's going on in the world. But whenever they do touch you, you have a Father that you can talk to straight away, and knowing from previous experience, He'll help you when you're walking more closely with God. The secret to any Christian success is the Word of God. It would have worked for Adam and Eve if they'd stuck to it. Adam could have said that, I see you've chopped up the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and put it in the salad. I'm not eating it. You could just see that, the first domestic in history, couldn't you? The hands and the hips. You're not eating the dinner that I lovingly prepared for you. It's in the Word. And when you stick to it, no matter what anybody else is doing, you walk more closely with God. It's not a thing that's popular, because today most folks talk about indulgence and a little bit of what you fancy being good for you. That only works for apple pie and ice cream. It doesn't work for drinking and carousing and thieving and lying. And I guarantee you, friends, if you let a little bit of sin in, a little bit of doubt about what this very Word of God says, your life will and could, in very short order, turn into a complete and utter train wreck. And God doesn't want that for you. I don't want it for you, otherwise I'd be preaching on something else this evening. And you certainly don't want that for you. No matter which movie, which TV program, which internet clip, or which friend or family member says otherwise, it's not good for you. Sin is not good for you. I wrote down a few things here. Normally my own bugbears. Do you know one of the reasons why there's so much advertising for alcohol? Because all the governments in the Western world make a fortune off of the duties of selling alcohol. And it's the same for smoking. They make a fortune. But they never tell you, whenever you start drinking and it gets a hold of you, or whenever you start smoking and it gets a hold of you, that 15 years down the line, your lungs are only going to work at like 25% capacity. Your liver's going to be pretty much done, and your life expectancy will have dropped by about 20 years. They never tell you that, because if you did whenever you started, people say, you want me, it's almost like you're a drug pusher and you're trying to get me to take this stuff. Never tell you that. If you keep company with immoral people, with people that just talk about hooking up, the hookup culture, or as your mum says, the take-me-up culture, they say, oh, and they show all these, oh, I had a wonderful night, and how can it be so wrong and it feels so right? And they never show you the people sitting in the STD clinic waiting for a blood test and hoping it's curable. They never tell you about the unwanted children. They never tell you about the heartache, the broken lives. And there's even studies now that in this culture that we've been raised up in, that the more people, in quotes, hook up with each other, the less able they are to maintain a relationship. It breaks something in your mind. They'll tell you that. Think it's normal. You got a bunch of actors on TV that will say anything for money, and people believe it. Hang around with violent people, And it'd be like the gunfighters in the Old West. You always remember there was always someone trying to take the crown. It'll happen sooner or later. When you slow down just a fraction of a second, someone bigger, stronger, or faster will get their licks in first, and that'll be you. We're keeping bad company. Sooner or later, it'll draw you into one or other, or even all of those things. They don't tell you those things. The devil didn't say, oh, by the way, if you eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, you'll be kicked out of the Garden of Eden. You will start to die. It might take about 1,000 years, but you will start to die, and you're going to have all sorts of physical problems, and the relationship with your husband is going to change completely. Because if he'd said that, you know, that I like things the way they are now. I like walking and talking with God. I like the simplicity and the natural nature of our relationship. I like that. I don't want that to change. When you let sin in, it'll come in mob-handed, and it will cause you so much trouble. We see here that at the tail end of Genesis chapter 3, that the Lord, after he had dealt with them and judged them and given them their punishment for disobeying him, he made them a coat of skins. From the very beginning of the Bible, it has always been the innocent sacrifice that has covered sins. And that's what happened here. A couple of lambs were killed, one for Adam, one for Eve, to cover their nakedness. And it has been that through the rest of the Bible, an innocent substitute to pay for sins. And whenever we get to the Gospels, we find that the ultimate innocent substitute as a full and complete payment for sins is Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, it doesn't undo what the world, the flesh, and the devil does to you between getting your eyes opened and getting saved. The world can leave marks on us, can leave scars on us, but the Lord can take the pain away. You see that man that gave his life on the cross? The same man that called man up out of the ground, that has injected himself into history from time to time and walked in the face of the world that he created. He loves each and every one of us, and he wants the very best for us. And we, as his little brothers, as his adopted children, we should do our best not to let him down. As a fellow says, as your dad might have said, do me proud, son. Do me proud. Don't let me down. Don't bring the police to the door while all the neighbours will be talking. Don't let me down. Do me proud. Do what I've said in the book there. I'll keep it there for you, so anytime you want to reread that, you can have that. That's what we should be doing. We should be aiming to sin less until the day that we're sinless. So don't let it into your life. And if you find it there, pull it up like a weed and keep pulling it up until you've got some lovely bare ground, brown ground, and plant something beautiful in its place. Thank you for your good time. And God bless you, folks. We see your patience. Okay. We are going to close with Mrs. Bradfield's pick of 216 in the big book. 216. Stand if you're able. Yeah, and we're only going to sing the first two lines of the page on the right, just by way of an FYI.
Pilgrims on Zion, now wandering.
bit better than it has been this afternoon. Get plenty done. In the meantime, let's bow our heads and pray, and we will be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for this little bit of time in your word. I pray, Lord, that you would walk with us. More importantly, we would walk with you, but that you wouldn't be done with us, that you would keep reminding us and directing us and speaking to us, Lord, and give us a good sense to listen and to do. Please bless us as we part company, and please see us safely home and back to the next appointed time, Lord. And we love you and praise you. Please also bless and keep Israel. And we pray for the elections over in America, Lord, as they keep hot up. Please, Lord, oppose those that are evil at every turn. Please bless those that are doing their best. I pray you too for the dear King family at this time. And, Lord, for absent breath. We leave these things at your feet with our private prayer requests, Father. And we pray that you would grant them according to your will. Amen. Amen, folks. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit.